Thank you, Becky. Take your Bibles. Turn to the book of John. John chapter number 10 is where we're going to be this morning. John chapter number 10. And continue our series on pictures of Jesus, illustrations from the Gospel of John. And we're going to kind of jump back a little bit. We kind of jumped forward a little bit last week for Easter, talked about Jesus being the resurrection and life. We're going to come back to John chapter 10 today. So continue on with Jesus being the good shepherd. And so praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for just the good spirit we've had here in this morning in the house of the Lord. Let's just jump right in if we can. John chapter number 10. Of course, 2 weeks ago, we dealt with Jesus being the door of the sheep. And then we're going to kind of continue on with that idea. John chapter number 10. Let's look at verse number 11 if we can. John 10 and verse number 11. All right, and we'll read the first five words together if we can, okay? Ready? John 10 and verse number 11. Everyone ready? All right, here we go. I am the good shepherd. And then I'll continue on. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. Can we read the next five words again? Ready? I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 16. And other sheep have I, which are not of this fold. Them also must I bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. Verse 18, and then we'll close. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Let's ask the Lord's blessing as we talk about Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you so much for your word. We thank you for your love. Lord, we thank you that you are the Good Shepherd. Lord, the shepherd that gives his life for the sheep, the shepherd that knows the sheep. Lord, we thank you that you have that passion, have that love, have that heart for us. And so, Lord, we're so thankful for that. Lord, help us as we examine this concept, as we examine this passage this morning, that you'd help us to understand it, that you'd help us to apply it. Lord, sink this truth deep into our hearts so that we can be changed by it. Help us, Father, to become more like you because of what we've heard here this morning. Lord, I pray as I've prayed really throughout this series and Lord, really each and every day, Lord, that as if there's one here that hears your word and has not accepted you, Lord, that today would be that day that they receive you as their good shepherd. Lord, help us and strengthen us in this passage. Help us all to have our hearts willing to change whatever needs to change. And we'll give you praise, honor, and glory for it all. It's in the name of Jesus we pray these things. Amen. I mentioned before, but when I was in high school, I had the privilege of working for a shepherd up in Indiana. I don't know why, Brother Strapp was his name, I don't know why he trusted me as a little teenage kid, but for whatever reason, I had the privilege of taking care of sheep. And sheep are very unique. Has anyone here ever been around sheep, ever kind of taken care of sheep at all? Okay, a few of you. Sheep are very unique. Sheep are very interesting. And the Bible is very clear throughout God's Word, we are like sheep. Now, that's not always a flattering term. That's not always a perhaps a great picture. But the reality is we are like sheep. And so we have a few pictures of some sheep from the Judean hillside. I want you to kind of remember these pictures as we go through. And this will kind of we'll kind of go back to these, okay? So these are some pictures of Judean shepherds taking care of the sheep out in the wilderness. In the area of Israel, it doesn't a lot of rainfall like we have here. It's not really really lush, if you will, okay? A lot of it's kind of scrubland. And so the shepherds are the people that kind of live there, and the shepherds are the ones that kind of take care of that whole area. So I want you to remember some of these. We'll go back to some of these images and kind of remember some of these later on. But first, we're going to break it down into three things. First, we have to talk a little bit about us as sheep. Number one, the sheep's reality. Can I say, folks, the Bible is very clear. We are like sheep. So what are sheep like? For some of you that are city folk, you have no idea. For other of you that just haven't dealt with sheep, you don't know. So I'm going to give you all of the wonderful facts about sheep. Number one, sheep are dirty. Sheep are dirty. Isn't that a great truth? Sheep are dirty. The reality is sheep can't clean themselves. As a matter of fact, sheep have very thick wool. Over in the region of Israel, they recently found one lamb that had gotten away from the whole flock. And this lamb had grown so much fur. I don't know if you had seen this. This lamb had grown so much fur. It was like a big giant cotton ball with legs. Okay? It looked rough. The reality is sheep are dirty. And can I say, the Bible is very clear that we are dirty many times. Are we not? Isaiah 53, and I believe it's verse number 5, says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Can I say, folks, we as sheep, we are dirty. We need the Lord's cleansing. We need the shepherd to take care of us. We are like sheep. Number one, sheep are dirty. Number two, some facts about sheep, then we'll get into the shepherd. Number two, sheep are directionless. When I used to take care of the sheep, I gave it this illustration, I believe, when we were talking about Jesus being the door. We had to, for a week, the shepherd was gone, and I had to take care of the farm for that week. I don't know why he trusted me, but he did. And so one of the things we had to do is we had to move the sheep from one pasture to another. And I told you about the one sheep that was kind of a little stubborn. He didn't know quite what he was doing. You had this whole pasture, and what would he keep doing? He kept hanging out next to the electric fence. The reality is, folks, sheep need a shepherd to lead them, or else they're going to get destroyed. They're going to be harmed. I remember when I started working for Mr. Straup, and when he was telling me a little bit about taking care of the sheep, he said, "Now here's what you need to do. If a coyote comes, you need to stop it." And I said, "Okay, how?" Right? You need to get the coyote. Can I say, folks, sheep are directionless. They need the leadership of the shepherd. Number three, sheep are defenseless. They need the protection of the shepherd. We had at the sheep farm that we worked at, we had a big, huge dog. You ever seen big sheep dogs before? We had a huge sheep dog named Blondie. Okay, it was big, white, Australian Shepherd, huge dog. I remember one time the gate got open and Blondie tried to run. And Brother Straup, you should have seen him. He was about 400 pounds. I was about 75. And he grabbed onto Blondie and Blondie was pulling him along. And I asked before, I said, "Mr. Straup, why do you have such a huge sheepdog?" He said, "Because coyotes come in here and I can't always protect the sheep." The reality is, folks, sheep need protection. Can I say we need protection, do we not? The Bible's very clear that we have an adversary as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. We need the Lord, folks. We need the Lord. We're dirty. We need the Lord's cleansing. We need the Lord's leadership. We're directionless. Number three, we're defenseless. We need the Lord's protection. Number four, sheep are dependent. They need the shepherd's attention. The reality is, friend, can I be very clear? Can I be very transparent? If you're going through your Christian life and you are not close to the shepherd, then I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt, you are either one, getting ready to get hurt, or two, it's pretty messed up. I get very concerned about people that can say they're Christians, but you know, "Oh, I don't want to go to church. Oh, I don't need to read my Bible. I don't need to be close to God's Word." Can I say, friend, you need the attention of the shepherd, and you need to be close to the shepherd. We are sheep. We're dirty. We're directionless. We're defenseless. We're dependent. Number four, the sheep are dumb. Isn't that encouraging? Sheep are dumb. Sheep are extremely dumb. As a matter of fact, one thing that will happen with sheep is they will follow the leader no matter what. Here's one thing that we did with the sheep one time. I tested it because I had heard this was a truth, and I had never tried it. Okay, we were all funneling them through a small gate. Okay, and what we did, he was like, Mr. Strapp was like, hey, you know, if you put your leg out, then one will jump, and all the others will keep doing it. So I'm like, I want to try this, right? So the sheep are coming along, the leader's there, and I stuck my leg out, so he had to jump over my leg, right? And so the first one jumped over. And so, you know, I let the second one jump over, and then I put my leg back. And every sheep jumped over the invisible leg that didn't exist anymore. I'm sitting there, and I'm watching. He had about 150 sheep or so, and I'm watching all 150 sheep go and continue walking along. Why is that? You know why? Because sheep just follow the leader. Can I say, friend, can I take it just a time out here? You're either going to be led by the shepherd or you're going to be led by the sheep. Y'all with me here? You are either being led by God and you're being led by Jesus Christ, or you're being led by other sheep. And can I say, if you're led by other sheep, you're going to do dumb stuff. There are tons of people in our community. There are tons of people in your workplace. There are tons of people, perhaps even family members, that are being led by other sheep. Oh, this is just what I feel. You know what the Bible describes that as? I'm just going to take a time out here and preach a little bit, if you're okay with that. The Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of what? Death. Death. The reality is, friend, if you go and you choose, I'm gonna just follow what I think. I'm going to follow this person. I'm going to follow that person. Can I say, friends, every person will always let you down. Christ does not let you down. Follow the Lord. Don't follow other people. Sheep are dumb. And can I say, friend, don't follow another person. Follow Christ. You might say, well, preacher, you're a preacher. I want to follow you. Can I say, I will let you down. You with me here? I'm not perfect. If all you're doing is following me, I guarantee you, you will be disappointed at some point. I'm not going to try to disappoint you. But the reality is, I am just a sheep following the shepherd. And sometimes, sheep stray. Follow Christ. He's the good shepherd. Number one, sheep's reality. Sheep are dirty. Sheep are directionless. Sheep are defenseless. Sheep are dependent. Sheep are dumb. Nice and encouraging, right? Number two, let's get into the encouraging part. The shepherd's redemption. I love this. Jesus says twice in this passage, we read it out loud, did we not? Jesus says twice, I am the good shepherd. And he gives two different characteristics, if you will, two different things that a good shepherd would do. Verse 11 is the first one we're going to look at. Let's look at it again. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd what? Giveth his life for the sheep. So here's basically what he's saying. Back in Bible times, they didn't have guns. They didn't have weapons. Weapons like we would have. They didn't even really have sheepdogs, so to speak, especially in Israel. So what did they have? The shepherd was the last line of defense for the sheep. Sheep don't have offensive capabilities, right? Sheep are just sheep. The best thing a sheep can do is run away when the problems come. So the shepherd was a protector. Do you remember a well-known shepherd in the Bible that protected his sheep even in the face of death? David, right? When David is standing against Saul, or standing rather against Goliath, what does he say? He says, I can fight Goliath. Why? Because I fought a lion and I fought a bear with my bare hands. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I have never fought a lion or a bear with my bare hands. You all with me here? A shepherd had to face death, and he had to be willing to give his life for dumb, defenseless, directionless sheep. That's what Jesus says. I am the good shepherd. I give my life for the sheep. Let's look at this. Let's examine this a little bit, can we? Few truths about this. Number one, the shepherd's sacrifice. He gives his life for the sheep. What is this sacrifice? What's entailed in this sacrifice? Number one, it's a wealthy sacrifice in the sense that it gives us the wealth of the shepherd. Look, can we? The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have a life, and let's finish the rest of the verse, ready? They might have it more abundantly. Can I say, friend, understand and grasp this. Jesus did not die so you could be miserable, so you could look like you've been chewing on a lemon. Jesus died so you can have more abundant life, not just in heaven, but on this earth. Listen, the Christian life is not the bad life. The Christian life is the good life. Let me prove it to you, okay? This afternoon, I want you to, if you don't believe me, okay? I want you to go down to downtown Raleigh, go to any one of the intersections going onto the highway, and you'll see people that are homeless, right? You'll see people that are homeless, people that are living off of the streets. I want you to sit down. I want you to talk to them. I want you to ask them why they're that way. You know, almost every single time I've talked to someone like that, I used to actually do a little ministry like that back in Wilson. Almost every single time I've talked to someone like that, you know what they say? Well, I got into alcohol, I got into drugs, and I lost my family, and I lost my house, and I lost my job, and I lost my... Can I say, friends, understand this. The Christian life is the good life. I'm afraid many times Christians go and they say, man, I wish I could do this, I wish I could do that. Time out a second. You get into that, it ruins your life. It's not the good life. This is the good life. This is the abundant life. Jesus Christ died for us so that we could not just have life, but so that we could have more abundant life on this earth and in that which is to come. It was a wealthy sacrifice. It gave us all of his wealth. Number two, not only was it a wealthy sacrifice, but number two, it was a willing sacrifice. Look at verse number 11 again. When I stop, you read the next word, can you? I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Can I say, friend, nice and clearly, what is this saying? It's saying that Jesus Christ was willing to give his life for us. He gave it willingly. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but what? The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Can I say, Jesus Christ willingly gave his life. He gave it up. No one could take it. He gave it of himself. He gave it for us. It was a willing sacrifice for us. Number one, it was a wealthy sacrifice. It gave us the wealth of the shepherd. Number two, it was a willing sacrifice. Number three, it was a wanted sacrifice. Verse number 13, can we? This is talking about the hireling. We'll talk about a little bit more about him in a second. But the hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. What is this saying? Nice and simply, it's saying that the shepherd does care for the sheep. Right? Can I say, why did Jesus die for us? You know why? Because God loved us. Now, many times we as Christians that have been saved for quite some time, we've been in church for a long time, we say, oh yeah, God loves us. But have you paused and thought about the reality that God loves you? You. Think about who you are and think about what you've done against the Lord. God loves you. Most of us, I used the illustration that I used a little bit ago. When Bill Straub came to me and said, John, if there's a coyote, you need to stop the coyote. I said, okay. But what went through my brain? Yeah, right. That's a pretty good expression. Yeah, right. Why? Because I'm not giving my life for a dumb sheep. Go back to the market, buy some more sheep. Y'all with me here? The reality is, a human life is much more valuable than a sheep's life. We would all agree with that, right? But what did Jesus Christ do? God himself gave his life for little old sheep like us. He loved us. He cared for us. And he was willing to give his life for us. The shepherd's sacrifice. But number two, I see the hireling's cowardice. It talks about hireling. What is a hireling? A hireling was basically what I was there on Bill Straub's farm. I didn't own the sheep. He paid me a wage so that I would take care of them. I didn't have a vested value in the sheep. I didn't I didn't know the sheep. The sheep didn't really know me. I just helped out. That's the hireling. Look at verse number 12. It talks a little bit about the hireling. We've looked a little bit at some of the verses earlier, but just in summary, verse 12. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. Can I explain it this way? Here's what's going on. The hireling has just gotten that job because he needs a job. When I got the job at about 16 to go and work on Bill Straub's farm, I just needed work. I needed a job. I didn't want to flip burgers, so I decided to work for the shepherd. Does that make sense? I didn't value it. I just wanted a paycheck at the end of the week. So when that wolf comes, what happens? I ain't sticking around. You know what I mean? I'm not there. Can I say, friends, we have a lot of hirelings in the world today, do we not? What are some characteristics of the hireling? And then we'll do a little bit of application. Number one, the hireling has a temporal duty. He's only focused on his own gain. He's a hireling. He's only focused on his own good. He doesn't care for the sheep. He cares for himself when the day is done. He has a temporal focus that's basically, I want what I can get out of this job, and that's it. Reality, that was me at 16 years old working on the farm. Y'all with me here? I wanted what I could get. Can I say, friends, sometimes we can have that idea in our relationships. You know that? We can. Do we not? Let me give you reality. If you have a temporal focus, then you will have a temporary reality. If you have a temporal duty, you're only focused on what you can get right now, right? Then you will only be there temporarily. Let's apply it a few ways. Okay? One thing that I've had to deal with a lot over the years, not here necessarily, but a lot over the years, is marital counseling and things along that line. What happens? A husband loves a wife loves a husband, right? But what is that love? That love is selfish. I love you because of what I can get from it. You love me because of what you can get from it. And what eventually happens? Some of that starts to break down, does it not? When that takes place, if my focus is on what I can get, then I am what? A hireling. When the problems come, then what takes place? I flee because I'm not in this for the long haul. The reality is, friends, this happens all the time. But let me give you another example. You go to church and you have people that are, man, I love this church. I'm so excited about church. But can I say, sometimes, you know what happens? People get really excited about church, but all of a sudden a problem comes. The church is starting to require things, right? It takes a little bit of a sacrifice to serve the Lord. It takes a little bit of sacrifice to worship. And you say, you know what? I'm out of here. Peace. I'm gone. Why? Because you are only focused on your own gain and your own good. A temporal duty leads to a temporary duty. You focus on right now, and eventually you're not going to be around in the long haul. Can I say, friends, in our relationships, in our lives, we need to be about more than just what we can get. Y'all with me here? We need to be about what we can give. This is just a side of all we're talking about with Christ. Christ is the exact opposite of that, is he not? Can I say, when Jesus saved us, he didn't get a lot, did he? Luke says this. Luke says, after you've done all, you're still an unprofitable servant because you did what you were commanded to do. You know what that means? If I did everything I could possibly do for the Lord every second of the day, does that ever add up to what Christ gave for me? It never can. Y'all with me here? If I spent every single second of my life until I'm dead in the grave serving the Lord every second, then still I never balance out the scales of what Christ did for me. The reality is, friend, Jesus gave everything for us, not expecting a whole lot back. Y'all with me here? The little bit we do for him is like pennies. It's like a child. How many of you have raised a child or you are raising children? Okay? How many of you, that child has paid for himself or herself? Nobody! You know why? Because kids are expensive. I got three of them, I'm going on four. Kids are expensive. The money, the time that we invest in our kids, we don't get that back, do we? Really? Right? Now, yeah, certainly it's worth it. I'm not denying that. But what I'm saying is, you in your own life, you live for something more than right now. So why do we not apply that to the Lord? I'm afraid so many times we have that hireling mentality, do we not? We go and we are only focused on what we can get. Lord, I'll serve you if you do this for me. Time out a second. Is that how we serve God? Lord, I'll do this if you do this. Wait a second. No, no, no. We serve the Lord. We love him because he loved us. Number one, the shepherd's redemption. Number two, look at the next verse. Verse number 14. The shepherd's relationship. Verse number 14. I am the good shepherd, and what? Verse 14. Know my sheep, and am what? Known of mine. So what's he saying? He's saying that the good shepherd has a relationship with the sheep. That is, that the good shepherd knows the sheep, and the sheep know the shepherd. When I worked on the farm, I'll give another example. When I worked on the farm, I went and one of the sheep actually died while I was watching him for a week. I did a really great job, okay? So one of the sheep actually died. So I called the shop and I said, hey, Bill, one of the sheep died. And he was like, oh. And he listed off the name. He said, yeah, I know. He was pretty sick. And I'm like, how'd you know? Why? Because the shepherd knows the sheep. I was there with them every day. I didn't know the sheep. You all with me here? I didn't know the sheep. I didn't know that that sheep was sick. I didn't know that. The shepherd knows the sheep. And can I say the sheep know the shepherd? I've given this illustration before, but we would go out in the field, and shepherds have this special call, and the sheep know the call, and they come. He would do this call, and he would get out here, and he was like, he was just a big man. You know what I mean? You ever met just a big man? That was Bill Strapp. He'd go out and he's like, hey, you know, and he'd do this weird thing. Still can't do it. And all the sheep would just come, right? So I decided I was going to try that. So I go out, little old scrawny me, right? Hey, sheep, come here. And they're all looking at me like. And I'm like copying it exactly. Hey, sheep. And they're
man alive, this thing is really not happy today. Oop. This thing's really not happy.
Why? Because the sheep didn't know me. Does that make sense? The sheep didn't know me. As a matter of fact, look back. About this relationship that God the Father and God the Son has with us, the sheep. Psalm 23. And Brian, if you want to just mute my lapel, I'll stick with this mic if you can, brother. Psalm 23 and verse number 1. This is, of course, talking about the Lord being our shepherd. This is really what Jesus is referring back to when he says he's a good shepherd. Psalm 23 and verse number 1, here's what it says. The Lord is my shepherd. Say the next four words together. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Can I say Christ's relationship with us? There's two balances from John 10:14. He knows the sheep. And number two, the sheep know him. So let's first examine Christ's relationship with us. He provides for us. He leads me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. The reality is, with the pictures that I showed earlier about the sheep, can I say, folks, there's not a lot of green pastures in Israel. What does this mean? It means that the Father knows exactly, Jesus Christ knows exactly where we need to go, and He provides for us. Can I say, friend, Jesus is providing what you need. You might go and you might say, well, it's not quite what I would think. It's not quite what I would want. But can I say, the shepherd knows what you need, and He's going to provide for you. His relationship with us, He provides for us. He leads me beside green pastures. He pilots us. He directs us. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He pilots and directs us. Remember, sheep don't have any natural sense of direction. Sheep get lost. That's why the Bible often says that the one wandered away from the 99, for example. Sheep get lost. They need the shepherd to direct them. And the shepherd's piloting us. Can I say, when you don't understand where you're going, when you don't understand why life is going the way it's going, trust the leadership of the shepherd. He's directing you. There have been times in my life, I've given illustrations before, where I didn't understand what God was doing. You been there before? Anybody been there before? God, what on earth are you doing? This does not make sense. I've used the illustration of Joshua before. I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, this doesn't make sense. I'm trying to serve you. Why? Many times since then, Lord, why? But you have to trust the faith. You have to have faith in the shepherd. Number one, He provides for us. Number two, He pilots us. Number three, He protects us. Verse number four, Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. The idea here is that God is protecting. He's with the sheep. And so the sheep have nothing to fear. Can I say, friend, many times our worries, our stresses, our concerns are about things that God needs to take care of, not you. So many times we struggle and we say, I have to fix this. When in reality, if we just take a time out and say, God, You have to fix this, it takes a lot of the stress away, does it not? Listen, friend, trust the shepherd. There's a Jewish saying, worry is, I want to say it right, I didn't write it down, I probably should have. Worry is taking today's problems on tomorrow's pastures. Or no, worry is taking tomorrow's problems on today's pastures. The idea is this, okay? I'm probably butchering it. I'm sorry, I should have written it out. The idea is this. Many times what we do is we worry about things tomorrow that God hasn't provided for yet because it's still today. Does that make sense? Can I say, friend, God's going to take care of you. He's going to protect you. He's going to provide for you. So trust Him. Lamentations says, His mercies are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. You know what that means? Each day, God gives you enough mercy for that day. Y'all with me here? God doused out, God gave you enough mercy, enough feed, if you will, enough green pastures, enough still waters. He gives you enough for that day. So don't, I'm taking a time out here because, you know, I know when I catch a snag. Okay, I'm not a great fisherman, but I know when I catch a snag. The reality is, friend, the Lord is going to provide. Trust Him. He provides, He pilots, He protects, He pursues. Verse number 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. The picture here is of a sheep that's gone away from the fold. What would happen back in that time? The shepherd would have to go and find that sheep. He'd have to pursue that sheep. And when he found that sheep, he had to nurse it back to health. That's the picture here of anointing his head with oil. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. He had to go and take care of him. He had to provide the food for him. And he had to bring him back to safety. Can I say, praise the Lord that the Lord pursued you. Praise the Lord that He pursued me. Y'all with me here? If the Lord didn't pursue us, we'd be in some kind of trouble, would we not? The Lord pursued you. He went after you, and He found you, and He brought you to Himself. Praise the Lord for that, friend. The Lord wanted you when you were altogether undesirable. He pursued you. Number five, He purifies us. The idea of anointing the head with oil. One thing that happens with sheep, especially the breed that they have over in Israel, is they get infections, especially in the ear and around that area. So what would have to happen is shepherds would have to anoint the head, massage the scalp, if you will, kind of a shampoo of sorts, with olive oil, and that would prevent a lot of the infections and a lot of the sickness that can often take sheep. Can I say, friend, the reality is the shepherd purifies us on a regular basis. The reality is when you got saved, you were already purified. You are in the fold. But can I say, sometimes we got to get repurified, do we not? I'm not saying get re-saved. When you're saved, you're saved. But sometimes you got to go to the Lord and say, hey, I got some problems again. And the Lord has to clean you up. Friend, if you're not doing that, you need to be. His relationship with us, but let's close with our relationship with Him. There are three times where He says, I will in this passage. Look at verse number one. The Lord is my shepherd. Number one, I shall not want. I will not want. The reality is we need to trust His provision. Here's basically what He's saying. He's saying, the Lord's going to take care of me, so you know what? I don't have anything to worry about. That's what it's saying. I shall not want. That doesn't mean you don't want anything. I would like to eat at some point today. Right? Some of you are like, yeah, I would like to eat too. Quit preaching. The reality is, friend, we can trust His provision. I shall not want. Number two, we can trust His protection. Verse number four. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. The reality is, here's what He's saying in this passage. Trust His protection. Hey, the Lord's going to take care of you. Just trust Him. Trust what He's doing. He's the good shepherd. He gives His life for the sheep. He's going to protect you. He's going to take care of you. Number three, verse number six. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And catch this, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What's it saying? Can I summarize? It's saying, trust His presence, get close to Him. When I would take care of sheep, there were always two different types of sheep. There were sheep that wanted to be close, and there were sheep that wanted to be far away. I gave the illustration of, we called him George. I don't know what his real name was. George would always be going to the fence and always be trying to get on the other side of the fence. When we had a whole field of alfalfa, he wanted the little bit of grass on the other side. Can I say, friends, George was a miserable sheep. He was pathetic. He was mangy. He looked disgusting. Why? Because he didn't want to be with the shepherd. When we see the shepherd and we see how much he loves us and what he's done for us and who he is, can I say, friend, the only logical solution, the only logical response is verse 6. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want to be as close as I can to the shepherd. Friend, the reality of my life today is that I want to be close to Christ. If that's not the case in your life, then I guarantee you one thing. You don't understand and you don't know Christ. Because if you know Him, you want to be with Him. The Lord is taking good care of us. He loves us with an undying love, and He wants us to be with Him. And so we have the choice and we have the responsibility to go and say, I'm going to trust You. I'm going to trust Your provision. I'm going to trust Your protection. I'm going to trust Your presence in my life. I want to be close to You. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. Friends, this morning we have looked at Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And I have a few simple questions for you. Number one, friend, do you know for sure that He is your shepherd? Not everyone is in His fold. As a matter of fact, John 10 is very clear if you go through the passage. He said right there, there are some that are not in my fold, but I want them to be in my fold so they can have one fold and one shepherd. Can I say, friend, if you haven't accepted Christ, you aren't in his fold. You aren't one of his sheep. You can be, though. You can be saved. You can know that Jesus Christ is your shepherd, the one that will love you and care for you and provide for you and be there with you and protect you. You can know that. You say, how? You have to receive him. You have to receive him. It's nice and simple. You have to admit that you're a sinner. You have to believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven. You have to believe that he is the one that paid your penalty, and you have to accept him. You have to call upon him. Friend, if you haven't done that today, today could be the day that you could be saved. You say, Pastor, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I am sure I'm on my way to heaven. I know it. I am in Christ's fold. I am saved. If that's you, would you raise your hand? I know I'm saved. Good. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Perhaps some couldn't raise their hand. Perhaps you don't know. Listen, friend, I want to give you an opportunity to be saved, to know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. Anyone like that? I'm the only one looking around. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. Anyone like that? Preacher, I don't know I'm saved. I'm not sure. Preacher, I want you to pray for me. Anyone like that? Second question is this, friend. Anyone would say it with me. You know what? There's some areas in my life where sometimes I'm not the sheep I need to be. Sometimes I wonder. And I'm sure that many of you could say the same. Sometimes I'm not as close as I need to be to the shepherd. Sometimes I doubt his protection and his provision. Sometimes, frankly, folks, we are what we are. We are sheep. And how many of you with me would say, I want to get to know the shepherd more and I want to be closer to him? How many of you like that would say, I want to be close to the Lord with an upraised hand? Good. Thank you. Many hands, many hands. Let's stand. Let's go before the Lord if we can, please. Dear Heavenly Father, you've seen the hands, you know the hearts, you know exactly what's going on in each heart and each life, you know what's taking place. Lord, you know what needs to be done. Father, we are what we are. And Lord, many times we struggle and we fail and we fall. Lord, many times we wonder. Lord, as Isaiah 53 says, we are like sheep that have gone astray. But Lord, you took upon yourself all of our sin. Lord, we thank you. Help us, Father, to get close to you. Help whatever your word spoke to in hearts and lives. Help us, Father, to make decisions today based on that. For some, it may be to trust you, to get back to that point where they're not putting their reliance and their dependence and their protection upon themselves, but upon you. Lord, for some of us, it may be just getting close again. Lord, we've wandered, we've strayed, we felt like it would be easier in another pasture. Lord, help us to trust the good shepherd that gives his life for the sheep. Lord, work in our hearts, help us to make changes today that will not just impact today, but for the rest of our lives. Lord, work in a mighty way. We'll thank you for what you're going to do in all of these things. We'll give you praise, honor, and glory for it all. It's in the name of Jesus we pray these things. Amen. With every head bowed and eye closed, here's what I want us to do. I want us to do something a little different, okay? I know many times people pray in their seats, and I understand that, and I'm fine with that. Obviously, coming forward is not necessarily anything that's mystical. But I want us to take a stand today. The reality is, friend, that we as his sheep need to go and we need to get close to the Lord. So here's what I want us to do. If the Lord spoke to your heart while the instruments play, would you, if you can kneel up here, if you can just sit, that's fine. This is a figurative response to what the Lord did in our hearts. We're getting close to the shepherd. That's what this is. So if the Lord dealt with you, if you say, hey, I need to take a step closer to the shepherd, would you come and in a figurative way take a step closer to the shepherd? I encourage you to come and pray. I'll be praying here. Seek the Lord's face in this time.